Hello and welcome back to 365 Days with MXM Tune. I'm Maya, a singer, songwriter, video maker, Oakland native, and a skateboarding fan. I'm also a huge fan of history. I love untold stories, gross facts, hidden secrets, and anything weird, dark, and funky from the past. Each day, I'm going to share one of my favorite deep cuts with you, so let's take a look at today's stories.
It's 365 with MXM Tune. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.
Today, in 1999, Tony Hawk became the first skateboarder to land a 900 at the X Games, an annual extreme sports competition that began in 1994. Quick reminder, a circle has 360 degrees, so if you rotate 900 degrees, you're rotating 2.5 times in the air. To date, only 11 skateboarders have ever pulled off this gravity-defying trick, which is one of the hardest tricks in the sport. Plus, skateboarding competitions started using a mega ramp for some events in 2002, which allowed skaters to get even more air, giving them more time to pull off the trick. No one else managed to do the trick until 2004, so Tony Hawk was truly ahead of his time. It wasn't until 20 years later, in 2019, when Michi Brusco one-upped Tony Hawk by landing a 1260. That's 3.5 full rotations. But still, he was using the mega ramp. You've probably heard of Tony Hawk because he's had an entire franchise of video games named after him. The first Tony Hawk game, Tony Hawk Pro Skater for PlayStation, came out just a few months after he landed the 900. The game ended up being one of the most popular of the early 2000s, and since then, the franchise has put out games for over 20 different consoles. Last year, the documentary, Pretending I'm Superman, the Tony Hawk video game story, was released, including interviews from Tony Hawk, himself, and the team behind the games. But if you've never tried to land a kickflip on your GameCube, you might just be thinking about the iconic song Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. But let's look back at the history of skateboarding beyond the household names. Skateboarding originated in the 40s and 50s in California. Surfers wanted to be able to practice their skills while the waves were flat. They called it sidewalk surfing. We now know that skate shoes, like Vans, have become part of the skate culture, but in keeping with the surfing vibe, the first skateboarders actually just didn't even wear shoes. Doesn't that sound super painful? I mean, falling off a surfboard into crashing waves hurts too, but imagine falling off on your skateboard during a trip and scraping your foot on the hot California pavement. Ugh. Surf shops in California started building skateboards in the off-season, and by 1964, the first skateboarding competitions were taking place, and even a magazine called The Quarterly Skateboarder cropped up. It doesn't exist anymore, but at the time, the publisher, John Severson, wrote, "Today's skateboarders are founders in the sport. They're pioneers. They are the first. There is no history in skateboarding. It's being made now, by you." I can't lie, that sounds pretty inspiring. By 2001, skateboarding was more popular than baseball. 10.6 million kids under 18 rode skateboards, compared to the 8.2 million who tried their hand at America's pastime. You'd think the world of sports would be set in stone, but it's not that uncommon for a new sport to catch on. Think about Ultimate Frisbee, which was first played in 1968, or lacrosse. Lacrosse was actually first played in the 1600s by Native Americans, but in the 21st century, it spiked in popularity again. In the past, skateboarding's biggest competition was the X Games, which is where Tony Hawk landed that magnificent 900. But this summer, skateboarding is a part of the Olympics for the first time. There are two main events, Skateboard Park and Skateboard Street. Street takes place on a flat terrain, maybe with some stairs and rails too. It mimics more of your average urban landscape. Park is where you have the big bowls and ramps that you'd see at, well, a skate park. The 2021 Olympics, which were postponed from 2020 due to COVID, will also include karate, sports climbing, surfing, and the re-addition of baseball and softball, which were pulled in 2008. At the time of this episode being released, the Olympics will be underway, so let the games begin. Now let's talk about music. On this day in 1983, Madonna released her first album. Madonna would go on to become known as the Queen of Pop and one of the most iconic figures in contemporary pop culture. But her self-titled debut didn't do amazing. She didn't pull an Olivia Rodrigo or anything and hit number one worldwide with her first ever single. Rolling Stone even published a scathing review which called her voice irritating as hell. Yikes. But still, Madonna's album earned some traction in dance clubs, debuting at number 190 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. That's no small feat for a first-time artist, but it might not be what you'd expect from someone who we now know as one of the greatest pop sensations of all time. Even though her debut wasn't a smash success, her first record set the stage for her breakout second album, Like a Virgin. With over 21 million sales to date, Like a Virgin is one of the best-selling albums of all time. After that release, the press was a bit kinder. The New York Times compared Madonna to the Beatles, noticing how teens lined up at the record store to get a copy of Madonna's record. And as Caroline Sullivan from The Guardian wrote in 2012, her influence on the way women came to view sex, love, and themselves was so great that some universities offered courses in Madonna studies. So don't underestimate Madonna. And now for today's final segment, I'll be going back into my own photo archives to see what I was up to on a July 27th in my life. It definitely wasn't doing an ollie. It wasn't skating, although I would love to skate like Tony Hawk. I simply don't think that I could. On July 27th, 2018, I celebrated my friend's birthday. I went and celebrated my friend Allie's birthday. We went and got tea. Nothing super exciting. I honestly just miss kind of being in the Bay Area. We got to go to San Francisco and go to a restaurant there to go and celebrate her turning, I think it was 18 at the time, which is pretty crazy, but I really miss being in the Bay Area. I moved to New York last year. I talk about it all the time, but I miss being in the Bay largely because I still have a lot of friends that are there. A lot of my friends went off to college, but they're always there back in California during summer, during holiday breaks, but I typically just work and I go back in really odd times to go visit my family when I have the capacity to with my own schedule. And it's really weird. It's like such a weird thing to be an adult and look back on those memories of things that seemed so easy and straightforward back then, but also like, I don't know, like I can't go and celebrate my friends' birthdays as easily. And it kind of sounds like it's a downer, but it's okay. It's just life. I'm still in touch with Allie. I still Zoom with her and we watch movies all the time. You figure out ways to connect with the people that you love, but it's definitely nice to look back on the memories that you were able to make with them before. So go and celebrate a birthday with your friend. Go and do it. It's fun. If you have the opportunity, you should definitely go. Thanks for going back in time with me, and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can come back tomorrow for more stories from the past.
It's 365 with MXM2. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough.